Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 60 and partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, April 12th. Study: Permian has continued high rates of methane emissions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. With eyes in the sky and on the ground, the Environmental Defense Fund launched its Permian Map Initiative for an intensive study of methane emissions in the Permian Basin. The EDF teamed up with the University of Wyoming to study the Permian because, quote, "There aren't many studies looking at methane emissions despite its stature as the largest producing basin in the world," said Colin Layden, EDF's Senior Manager of Regulatory and Legislative Affairs in Texas. The basin is also the largest emitter of methane, with methane escaping from operations at an estimated loss rate of 3.5%, he said in a phone interview. That's roughly three times the national average reported by the Environmental Protection Agency and roughly 15 times the target set by producers active in the region, he said. The survey was of a 10,000 square kilometer grid spanning the Delaware Basin in Texas and New Mexico, which includes 11,000 wells producing 37% of the region's gas and 28% of the crude. David Lyon, chief scientist on the project, described the three data collection methods. Scientific Aviation will survey the area 2 to 3 times over 100 flight days, with new data arriving biweekly, with different scales ranging from a few sites to the entire study area. This method can only measure high emissions, but measured areas are randomly selected to be representative. On the ground, the University of Wyoming will use a van equipped with sensors to measure methane and volatile organic compounds to survey several dozen sites. The van is also equipped with an infrared camera for a fence line survey. Also, Pennsylvania State University will erect 5 towers to continuously measure methane concentrations and develop an atmospheric transport model to estimate regional emissions on a quarterly basis. In an effort to determine trends, Leak Surveys Incorporated will conduct 3 aerial surveys of randomly selected flares, utilizing an infrared camera to identify malfunctioning flares, Lyon said in a phone interview. Already, 2 surveys have been conducted, and Lyon said the findings indicate flares are doing a poor job of combustion and burning off the methane rather than letting it vent into the atmosphere. Quote, "Even lit flares have a poor combustion rate of 90%, he said. The 3rd survey is expected to confirm those preliminary findings. Kairos Aerospace, which has conducted large-scale Permian surveys for at least 2 years, has worked with major Permian producers such as Pioneer Natural Resources and has just been contracted by ExxonMobil to work on that company's field trials of emerging methane monitoring technologies at its Permian Basin operations. Steve Diker, Kairos chief executive officer, told the Reporter-Telegram by email that the company's work has included the areas covered in EDF's research program. Quote, Keros, however, provides its data directly to industry so that operators can quickly and efficiently reduce their emissions, he said. In our experience, there are a relatively handful of sites that appear to be responsible for the majority of emissions within the basin, similar to the conclusions of EDF's work. The good news in this is that operators can, and in some cases already are, quickly identifying these sites and reducing emissions. Indeed, some of the large emitters identified by EDF likely have already been found and fixed by industry. End quote. Permian map data is made public before publication at www.permianmap.org, giving companies time to review the data and take action, Layden said. The site allows operators the option of 1. Correcting information about a well listed on the site, or 2. Detailing what action they took to address problems, if any, at the well. He said industry response has been largely positive. Quote, there is some concern with publicity, he said. They are not the biggest fans of having the information public, but they also realize that technology will let a lot of groups do the same thing, and they rather work with groups like us that are looking for solutions. End quote. Quote, even though the industry is going through unprecedented dual black swan events, PBPA members continue to treat environmental issues with top priority, Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, the industry will continue our efforts to reduce emissions from our operations as we have done in recent years. On a percentage of production basis, emissions have been on a downward trend in recent years. Additionally, the PBPA is working with a broad-based group of allied trade associations known as the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition. This group has been meeting regularly and is committed to finding and implementing additional industry-led solutions to minimize methane emissions and flaring. Indeed, the coalition was formed to evaluate data such as this and develop industry-led practices and opportunities to improve environmental performance. End quote. Layden and Lyon applaud voluntary industry initiatives such as the Environmental Partnership, Oil and Gas Climate Initiative, and the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition, but said such efforts can have their limits. The EDF's preliminary findings with its Permian Map Initiative show that, quote, there's much more work to be done, they said. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, the Texas oil and natural gas industry is taking every step to protect the environment and produce energy in cleaner and more efficient ways. TXOGA member companies are participating in multiple initiatives that are committed to finding and implementing additional industry-led solutions to improve environmental performance and address climate concerns. This includes numerous efforts to minimize methane emissions and flaring, including the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition that was announced just last week. Through these industry-led programs, industry is developing innovations, pioneering technologies, and achieving efficiencies that are successfully reducing emissions during a time when oil and natural gas production has drastically increased. End quote. On its website, the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition said it would review EDF's data and findings and will continue to demonstrate industry's commitment to advancing environmental progress while responsibly producing and delivering the energy that powers modern life. Howard Feldman, senior counselor with the American Petroleum Institute, cited the various industry initiatives that have helped reduce emissions by nearly 70% in producing basins like the Permian, even as production grew significantly, he told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "These initiatives underscore the industry's commitment to leveraging new technologies and innovative practices that reduce emissions and establish clear pathways for continuous environmental improvement. Through these commitments, and individually as companies, industry has taken an active role to partner with others, including EDF, to conduct research and advance our understanding of emissions, which is essential to securing environmental progress. As with any report, we will review the methods EDF used to validate the data and their preliminary conclusions," he wrote. Report: drilling downturn will impact water midstream companies. With demand and water volumes down, companies will have to focus on efficiency and cost reduction, HIS Market says. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. Just as surging Permian Basin production has transformed water management, the sudden and deep industry downturn could send the produced water business in yet another direction. Produced water volumes are expected to fall to nearly 20 billion barrels annually for a market value of $28 billion, IHS Market said in a report. This is down nearly 4% from 2019 levels, driven lower by plunging oil prices and oil demand. Quote, "After the recent oil price collapse and demand destruction for oil due to COVID-19 and other market factors, we now expect the total water management market size in the U.S. to drop about 20% below our previous estimates," said Paola Perez Pena, principal research analyst at IHS Market and lead author of its water market analysis in the report. Quote, "The dramatic decrease in drilling and completion, D&C, activity in the next 2 years will significantly reduce frack water volumes, while the decline in produced water volumes will be less severe," end quote. That could bring to a halt much of the significant investment in building and expanding infrastructure because water midstream companies, which have been evolving from merely transporting water to and from well sites into water management companies that transport, treat, recycle, and dispose of produced water. More collaboration and partnerships will be needed, with operations more localized and turning into multi-operator infrastructure systems, Perez Pena said in the report. Rather than investing in infrastructure development, focus will shift to efficiency optimization and cost reduction, she said. Perez Pena told the Reporter Telegram by email that 2020 will still be a good year for those in the water disposal market, as disposal volumes are expected to increase because of the reduction in recycling volumes. Quote, "While produced water volumes are expected to decrease in 2021 and 2022, midstream companies are not going to be nearly as affected as source water companies, so for the water midstream companies, the landscape looks better than for most of the other segments," she said. "Based on this, my advice to midstream companies is, use these new conditions in the market as an opportunity and review your strategy for the next 3 years. Some midstream companies stand to gain new clients if they provide attractive pricing to E&P companies looking for cost reductions. Also, be aware that the M&A market will soon become very dynamic, and this could also represent an opportunity, she said. Also being impacted, she wrote, will be efforts to market produced water outside the industry. Quote, treating the water for uses outside the oil patch is more expensive than treating it for disposal using a SWD. Since currently E&Ps are focusing on cost reductions, I see them losing interest in any water treatments that involve additional costs, she said. Quote, during this current decline in drilling activity, impacts on the water midstream sector will vary from company to company. No doubt the demand for frack water will wane along with an accompanying falling off in the volume of produced water, John Durand, president and vice chairman of XRI Holdings, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, in terms of impacts to the water midstream sector, it is impossible to generalize. The overall impacts will be highly dependent on the financial health and viability of the individual water midstream company itself, and whether it has a sound balance sheet that is not overburdened with debt, particularly during a protracted commodity price decline. A key consideration is also the makeup and the financial strength of the collective portfolio of companies and a water management company's E&P client base. Still another very relevant factor will be the quality and tenor of a water midstream company's contracts and the nature of those contract structures. Make no mistake, these times will be difficult and highly dependent on the influences and considerations mentioned above, as well as the duration of the downturn. Although impossible to predict the extent, it would appear there could be quite a bit of consolidation and rationalization of assets throughout the energy sector, with the water midstream sector being no exception. Quote, from an XRI Foundation Quail perspective, we above all want to see a return to health for the U.S. economy as a whole and for our industry, which is being ravaged by not only the global COVID-19 pandemic, but also by a very unfortunately timed disagreement between Saudi Arabia and Russia relative to production output in the face of unprecedented global demand destruction, Durant said. Continuing the quote, XRI Foundation Quail's focus is to continue to be the trusted partner of our client companies as we work through these times together. We also seek opportunities to partner and collaborate with our peer midstream companies as well, where possible, as it is vital that we meet the industry's water management needs as a sector, regardless of whether we are in a falling, rising, or stable market. XRI is fortunate in that we have great financials and a strong balance sheet and investment-grade quality E&P operator clients. Couple that with our long-term contract structures and the strong backing of our capital partner, Morgan Stanley Energy Partners, we will persevere and seek opportunities to expand even during this period of decline, and certainly as the state of the industry and the U.S. economy begins to recover and normalize. End quote. IHS Markit projects that by year's end, drilling and completion requirements for water in U.S. shale plays will reach nearly 2.5 billion barrels, a dramatic 46% decrease when compared to 2019 volumes. But during that same time period, produced water volumes from oil and gas wells in onshore U.S. plays are expected to reach nearly 21 billion barrels, a 1% increase above 2019 levels, but more than 8 times the amount of water expected to be used for drilling and completion in 2020. Perez Pena told the Reporter Telegram that after 2021, a recovery in drilling and completion activities is expected, quote, which will increase the demand for frack water and it will increase the produced water volumes. However, we don't expect produced water volumes to reach 2019 volumes in the next 5 years, end quote. Minerals market emerging as path through capital drought. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. With exploration and production companies falling out of favor, investment dollars were increasingly targeting minerals and royalties. That market has been expanding from individuals to now including private equity, institutional investors, and even exploration and production companies. Jay Snodgrass, Vice President, Business Development at Mineralsoft, a product of Enverus Drilling Info, said the private equity firms, some E&P companies with formal strategies to acquire mineral rights, and even some family companies comprise what he calls active investors. Passive investors include foundations and endowments that received rights as donations, E&P companies, especially big companies like Chevron, that own minerals through previous acquisitions, family offices, or, quote, families with big ranches with lots of rights, but who aren't in the business of expanding their portfolio, just managing what they own, he said in a phone interview. Quote, from a value perspective, I'd venture to say E&P companies are by far the biggest owners of minerals, but are passive. They don't have a good handle on what they own, which could be millions or billions in assets, end quote. What his company is seeing in the current market, Snodgrass said, is, quote, the ones that are smart are getting their ducks in a row, getting a handle on what they own. Even before the crash, passive owners were seeing the growth of the institutional market for minerals in the last few years and began gathering data, he said. They don't have a handle on their assets, but especially the distressed E&P companies that need capital wherever they can get it, are looking at assets that are non-core that can be liquidated, and minerals are high on that list, end quote. For some companies, that may be their only source of capital, he said. Diamondback Energy has been actively acquiring minerals through its subsidiary Viper Energy Partners, and Parsley Energy has a respectable minerals portfolio that could be either spun off or monetized, said Andrew Dittmar, senior M&A analyst, markets research with Enverus. Snodgrass's advice, quote, if you want to maximize those assets, know what you own, end quote. Buyers aren't comfortable making a purchase not knowing exactly what assets they are buying, he said. Quote, it is a challenge today for buyers. Oil prices are extremely volatile with 20% swings in a day. The challenge is valuing those mineral assets. But the bigger challenge is getting a handle on future development of the prospect. The way to get returns is to buy non-producing minerals before they become producing. It's like buying land right before they put in a highway, Snodgrass said. If there is anything positive to the downturn, Dittmar says it gives companies the chance to review their assets and determine just what they have and determine what is core and what can be sold for capital. It also gives companies the chance to review projects that had been placed on the back burner. Said Snodgrass, quote, the smartest and biggest funds are also able to leverage their own information to make informed decisions. There are 50,000 wells they may have data on. With time on their hands, they can look at how to leverage that proprietary data." End quote. They may need to also take a hard look at their back office operations and see how to automate those processes to further reduce costs. And once mineral assets are acquired, the purchasers need to look at how to execute once they own those minerals without doubling the size of their teams, he said. That's a conversation about how to right-size costs, end quote. "That's just one of the hard decisions facing companies in the current market," said Dittmar. "Traditionally, producers, especially in the Permian Basin, where land is so valuable, have drilled enough wells to maintain their leases. But if wells are not economical," he said, "producers will have to decide whether it's worth holding on to those leases or to let them go," he said. "That would bring to the market a new wave of unleased land available for acquisition." Snodgrass said a big project his firm is working on illustrates that point. Quote, "We've been working on a project with a large E&P in the passive investor space, one of the biggest players in the Permian Basin," he said. "The client has owned a lot of minerals leased since the 1970s, and the project involves determining whether those leases should be held for the producer's operations or sold off. A sale holds the potential of raising a large amount of capital," he said.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading a couple of columns from the Odessa American, published Sunday, April 12th, 2020. The Economist, by M. Ray Perryman. The Fed weighs in. The inevitable and unavoidable result of the extraordinary measures taken to curb the tragic health effects of the coronavirus has been a strong shock to the economy. Protecting human health and well-being must be paramount at the moment. Unfortunately, major damage to the economy also extracts a high human toll in the form of layoffs and job losses, bankruptcies, and financial stress. These issues, in turn, increase harms ranging from domestic abuse to depression. Obviously, the more that can be done to mitigate the damage, the better. Enter the Federal Reserve. The Fed's role is defined by its long-standing mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices while providing stability within the financial system. In times like these, the Fed can do and is doing a lot to keep things going. The Fed indicated it is committed to using its full range of tools to support households, businesses, and the U.S. economy overall in this challenging time. The statement also noted that aggressive efforts must be taken across the public and private sectors to limit the losses to jobs and incomes and to promote a swift recovery once the disruptions abate. The Federal Reserve is using its full range of tools to assure the flow of credit to American families and businesses. Actions include supporting market functioning through purchases of treasury securities and mortgage-backed securities, and even short-term commercial paper, as well as through new financing programs. Credit availability has also been enhanced. Target interest rates have dropped to basically zero, and bank reserve requirements have been eliminated. Many of these tools have been used before, but a new provision passed by Congress allows the Fed to make loans directly to companies across industries and the U.S. Most recently, at least as I am writing, the Fed is buying Paycheck Protection Program loans, thus allowing them to be funded without exhausting bank resources. Simply stated, all stops have been pulled out to support a return to economic health. These monetary tools are complemented by the major fiscal stimulus package passed by Congress, and these aggressive policy actions can help stem the economic damage and enhance the recovery once the virus begins to subside. Alas, the Fed's moves will do little to boost the economy immediately. That is not the purpose. Rather, they will, one, maintain the integrity and functionality of the financial system during the crisis, and two, help accelerate the recovery later. These are critical aims. The primary focus currently must remain protecting human health. In the midst of the chaos, the Fed is taking strong and decisive action.